Right, I'm delighted to welcome David Moore, Chairperson of Astronomy Ireland, to our programme once again. David, you're welcome to us once more here on Connemara Community Radio.
Thank you very much indeed, Brendan.
Good, good. David, now I'll have to say we haven't had very much clear skies over the last few days, quite a lot of cloud and or nights, I should say. But what should we be looking for in the sky just at the moment?
Well, a lot of it is for the early risers in the coming week, because Venus is blazing in the morning sky. I've seen it myself just before sunrise a few times, and I've been surprised at how prominent it is. So it's low in the east where the sun comes up, but it's about 100 times brighter than the brightest star in the sky. So you can imagine how impressive that looks. And in fact, next month in August, we've just finished sending the August issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine to the printers, and it's featuring the fact that Venus is going to pass by the second brightest planet in the entire sky, Jupiter, which itself is 10 times brighter than the brightest stars in the sky, on August 12th. So that's an extremely rare event. Fortunately, they'll be fairly close the morning before and after, and even for several mornings before and after, they'll be very close and look quite impressive. But August the 12th is technically the closest date, so circle that on your calendar. And if you're going to set your alarm for, let's say, 4 o'clock in the morning once in your life, then that has to be the date. And hopefully we'll get clear skies. If anybody sees it, even with the naked eye, we want to hear from them so we can put a report in the next issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine. So that's a brilliant double planet, if you like, one of the highlights of the summer.
Okay, that's fantastic. Now, I suppose Venus is always an interesting one. Do they call it normally the morning star? Is that the kind of name they generally give it, or does it change at different times of the year?
Yeah, it can be the morning star, and also it can come into evening sky. So all the beginning of this year, we had Venus in the evening sky blazing away. So it's both. Ancient cultures didn't know what it quite was. It's named after the goddess of beauty. They thought the planets were gods moving amongst the stars. I mean, without the aid of science, what else could it have been? And so they've all got these lovely godly names. But Venus does look quite beautiful in the morning sky, it has to be said. Pure white colour, because it's totally covered in clouds. And because it's on this inner orbit to the us, goes around the sun about two-thirds of our distance from the sun. So it'll always be near the sun in the sky whenever we look at it. So the best time is, for instance, the morning sky. Basically, it's to the right of the sun. So before the sun comes up, Venus will come up first. And in fact, August is the best month to see Venus in the morning sky. From Ireland, it's going to be at its highest the whole of August, and we'll see it for a few months after that as well. So that's why it's beginning to look so prominent now. And when you're standing there looking at it, just think what's going on the surface. It's got a runaway greenhouse gas effect. I mean, we're worried here on the Earth that about 1/2,000th of the air that you and I are breathing is carbon dioxide, that greenhouse gas. But on Venus, it's about 95% carbon dioxide, 2,000 times worse. So the temperature shot up to about 500 degrees Celsius on the surface of Venus. And so even the rocks are almost glowing red hot on the surface. The air pressure is 90 times thicker than it is here on the Earth. And the sulfuric acid, battery acid, in the clouds above. And it's totally cloudy. You never see anything from the surface of Venus. Even worse than Ireland, if that were possible. So it's really a hell off Earth, if you think about Venus. So when you're standing there looking at the so-called goddess of beauty, just think about what's really going on the surface. And then if you see Jupiter near it, Jupiter's 5 times further away from the sun than we are. So it's freezing cold out there. The warmest part on Jupiter is -130 degrees Celsius. So you've got these two planets looking very pretty beside each other in the sky, and they're both hellish planets as far as humans are concerned.
We're unlikely to go there on our holidays at any stage anyway.
Definitely. Elon Musk offers you a job colonizing those planets. Say, no thank you,
no,
I heard
you.
About those. Mars, yeah. Like maybe the Arctic areas on the Earth, we could probably survive there.
Yeah, well, that's, I suppose, why they're all putting their effort into that. Is Mars around at the moment at all, or because that's always very interesting, the red planet?
Yeah, it was all this year. In fact, in January, it's as closest to the Earth, but it's gone now. It's basically on the far side of the sun. So if you want to see Mars, you've almost got to be looking into the sun. And it's also, because on the far side, it's very far away. won't be back until, we won't actually see it until early next year in the morning sky again, and it won't be close to the Earth until about a year after that. So we've got a good while before we see Mars. So if you didn't watch it early on, you've missed your chance for a while yet.
Now, the other thing, I suppose, summertime I always associate it with the meteor showers. I can remember as a child kind of sitting outside and or lying on the grass and just looking at the stars, the shooting stars, as we would have said, I suppose, in those times. But there's one, of course, coming up, the Perseid. What's this one and where? When do we see it?
Yeah, the Perseid used to be the best meteor shower of the year because it's caused by a comet called Swift-Tuttle. So this comet goes around the sun every 120, 130 years. And when it's near the sun, it heats up. Then it goes way out in the depths of space, freezes solid for most of its orbit, and then falls back in toward the sun again and heats up again. And it's probably done this hundreds or thousands of times. So it's spread dust all around its orbit. So even though it last came near the Earth, I think it was 1991, I remember seeing it in the telescope at the time, it's dust is all around its orbit. So every time we pass near the orbit of this comet, we plow through this dust cloud that we can't see otherwise, and little lumps about the size of a grain of sand burn up as fiery streaks high in the atmosphere, quite safe to watch, but lovely spectacles of nature. And they're meteors, or shooting stars, to give them their popular name. And so this year, August the 12th, is the night. The same night, actually, that Venus and Jupiter are closest. All seems to be happening around that date for some coincidental reason. But that night, you'll see the most. The problem this year is the moon's going to be in the sky. And so it'll brighten countryside skies up to the level that suburban city and town skies are, thanks to light pollution. So one way, it'll be a level playing field for everybody. People in towns and cities will get a view as good as those in the countryside. But it is known for very bright meteors. I remember October 2021, the front cover story after the August Perseids was a huge fireball that lit up the entire country. And one of our readers was lucky enough to be aiming his camera in the right place at the right time. I actually was facing away from it, and I saw the ground in front of me light up. And you'll see that. Actually, we've reproduced that picture in the August issue of the magazine. If anybody wants to get it, just go along to the website. So we're expecting good displays the night before and after as well, but a bit spoiled by moonlight. But just because there's moon up, don't neglect it. There'll still be 10 times more shooting stars than normal up, and you should expect to see one every 5 minutes instead of two a minute as we get in a really dark sky. So August 12th, definitely a date to circle. You're going to be up late both nights for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned the little grains of sand idea, that they're being burnt up. Do any of these ever get through the atmosphere and land down on Earth? Or, I mean, obviously, a grain of sand might be difficult to find, but
yeah, well,
what's the story there?
Not so much from comets, because we're fairly sure where comets came from is when the solar system was formed. So there was a huge cloud of gas and dust swirling around, and something nearby nudged it, we think. Perhaps a nearby exploding star compressed a bit of the cloud. That gave it a bit more gravity, so it pulled the rest of the cloud in towards it. And this became a runaway reaction. And so you end up getting solid lumps growing throughout the gas clouds, which ultimately become stars. And they're still surrounded by a lot of this dust. And it goes into orbit around the star. Eventually, it all sticks together and makes planets like the Earth, and Mars, Jupiter, and Venus, we've been talking about. But the stuff that's very far out, away from the star, never really coalesces together. So it's these little friable pieces of dust. It's almost like cigarette smoke. And they just barely clump together to make icy bodies. Only a few kilometers across. Planets are thousands, tens of thousands of kilometers across. Comets are tiny. But you get millions of them way out from the star. And sometimes they fall in toward the star. The star will practically vaporize and make them swell up into these big puffy clouds, and they're comets. So we don't expect any rocky bits inside those. But the asteroids that live in the orbit between Mars and Jupiter, further out from the sun than us, they're big and made of rocks that never assembled into a planet, probably because Jupiter's gravity kept stirring them up. And when they hit each other, shards fly off out into space, and they can hit the Earth. So the meteorites that we find as rocks on the ground, the big ones that hit us and killed all the dinosaurs, those kind of things, they don't come from comets, they come from asteroids. So we don't expect any debris from the Perseids big enough to actually survive the re-entry purpose. And I'm not aware of a single meteorite that's fallen during a comet meteor shower. So I think we're pretty safe.
Okay, that's good. Just any other particular ones? Do you have a star procure, I think, this year or anything like that?
The only planet we're sort of neglected is Saturn. Now, Saturn's about as bright as the brightest stars in the sky, so it's easy to see if you know where to look. But it's only just coming into the evening sky this month. And, in fact, you'll have to wait till about midnight to see it, and technically you'll see it much higher up after midnight. So, for instance, tonight, Saturn technically arrives at 11:30, but I'd give it an hour to get high enough in the east to actually see it. And then, unless you know your stars, it'll just look like one of the bright stars in the sky. But by September, it's going to be very well placed. And it just so happens that the lovely rings that Saturn's famous for will be tilted edge on to us. Now, they were exactly edge on in March, but Saturn was too close to the sun for anybody to see it. And then the rings have tipped open a little bit now, but now they're going to tilt back to almost edge on. And so the big star attraction at our starbecue in September is going to be Saturn, with its rings as close to edge on as you're going to see them for 15 years. So that makes this year's starbecue a great sight or a great event to go to. It's on the 20th of September. All the details, including a little movie of previous ones, are on astronomy.ie, our website. And it's aimed at the general public. So we want people with no telescopes, no binoculars, no knowledge of astronomy to bring their friends and family along. It's a fundraising event for the society. We'll get people with big telescopes to bring them along, set them up in one of the highest villages in Ireland, the Wicklow Mountains. And we rent a GA grounds there, so we have a big hall for talks and exhibitions. We have telescopes strewn across the playing pitch. The skies are pitch dark. There are giant telescopes. Most people will never see the universe like we can show them in those telescopes. And there's a professionally catered barbecue as well. And there's a special offer on the tickets until the end of this month. You've only actually got 7 days left. And then, unfortunately, due to rising costs, the prices have to go up. So you heard it here first on Clonmara FM. Get your tickets. Bring the whole family and friends. September 20th. Don't miss it.
Okay. Well, listen, David, we'll be talking to you again before that again and again, so we will remind people once more. But thank you so much for being with us this evening once more, and it's always great talking to you. Thanks, David.
My pleasure. And there are diagrams for all these things in the magazine and simple English for beginners in the magazine. If you go to astronomy.ie, sign up for the magazine, you instantly get the What to See in the Sky emailed to you, and the magazine itself arrives in the post a couple of days later.
Great.
Aimed at kids and beginners.
Thank you,
about
David.
About €1 a week is all it costs. So astronomy.ie, all you need to know.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye, David.
Bye-bye.
That's David Moore there, Chairperson of Astronomy Ireland, and as he mentioned there, astronomy.ie for all the information and the magazine and all of that. So do get involved before we...